Hi, I'm the self-development coach, Johnny Lawrence, and welcome to the Self-Development Podcast.
So every human being holds energy, releases energy, attracts energy. And you've got to think, how is your energy made? Okay, so your energy is made mostly by your thoughts and feelings. So if your thoughts and feelings are really positive and uplifting, then you'll probably have a really positive and uplifted energy. If you are stressed, you're anxious, you're worried, you're negative, then you're probably going to have quite a lot of negative energy in the body. Let's think about that more. So if we hold a lot of negative energy in our body, that means we radiate a lot of negative energy. That means we attract that negative energy back to us.
Hi, I'm the self-development coach, Johnny Lawrence, and welcome to the Self-Development Podcast. In this episode, I'm chatting with author, meditation and energy healer, and anxiety specialist, Vicky Witherick. Vicky spent many years of her life in a very dark place, battling her own mental health. But it was in that point that she discovered a natural way to heal and begin her well-being journey. For over a decade, Vicky has been working on her own self-healing journey and has studied and practiced a variety of holistic, energetic, and alternative therapies. She immersed herself in areas of science, psychology, counseling, CBT, EFT, herbalism, and cannabis for health, meditation and mindfulness practice, and sound therapy, and gained qualifications in each. She even found time to become a Reiki master. That just sounds amazing. Reiki master. It's almost like a Jedi to me.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Yeah. Vicky is now a specialist in anxiety support, mindset training, introducing well-being in the workplace and creating meditation and self-care practice. Today, we plan to explore all of these areas and I'm really looking forward to it. How are you today, Vicky?
I'm great, actually. It's really nice to actually wake up and not have to defrost and de-ice my car. So I felt quite positive this morning. Got out for a nice dog walk without slipping on the ice. So lovely. Thank you.
I love how all of your like measures of the morning were avoiding disasters.
Well, you know, it's good not to fall over in the morning for sure.
I like that. That's good. Well, just wake up, don't fall over, don't have to de-ice my car. Yeah, well, unfortunately, what you don't know is that I did have to de-ice my car. So
Well, we're in different parts of the country, so we must be warmer here.
You're just showing off. Like, they sell it to us that in Cornwall, that it's always sunny because there's palm trees and that. But it's not true. It rains all the time.
Well, I've seen some pictures of you in the sun, John. So okay. Come on.
Right. Fair enough. So me and Vicky are sort of old friends, really, aren't we? We sort of grew up around the same area. Didn't have a lot to do with each other when we were young, but we've sort of been in and out. We've seen you out on nights out and things like that. But we share a wonderful friend who we shall mention, Claire, in common. Love Claire. And she's sort of reconnected us, hasn't she?
She did. Yeah. Well done, Claire. Good idea.
Yeah. And strangely enough, we're in the same, in the sort of similar space, which gives us a lot to talk about, which is wonderful. Handy because we're on a podcast.
Very handy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to start by you telling people sort of a bit about yourself and what I believe is a really remarkable journey that you've been on. Fire away. Tell us about Vicky.
Okay. I mean, if I want to start, I mean, most people have to go back to the beginning, and the beginning is my childhood. So, you know, in some ways I had a really beautiful, wonderful childhood. But in other ways, it was an unusual childhood because I wasn't brought up with my mum or my sister. I was brought up with my stepmom, my dad. And like I say, it was a wonderful childhood in some ways because my mum, my stepmom, my dad, wonderful. But, you know, there was issues, abandonment issues. And that's where it really started. Obviously, as a child, I didn't know that. I didn't know I had abandonment issues, of course. But as I moved into, you know, my teenage years and my young adult years, I really struggled with my mental health massively. It started with depression, and the answer was, you know, just putting a young teenager on antidepressants, which was a very slippery slope in itself. Then it moved on to anxiety and panic disorder, eating disorders, addiction problems, you know, all of this stuff, because I was trying to sort of run away from this weird, horrible, dark feeling I had inside that I didn't really sort of know what was going on. By the time I sort of got to my young adult age, my mental health was rubbish, really bad. I didn't look after myself. Partying was my way to sort of release everything. And that also was a downward spiral because, you know, Friday night I might be great. Monday I would be shockingly depressed and everything would be a lot worse, you know, and I was stuck in that sort of cycle of not knowing how to get out of it and look after myself. And after a while of sort of being like that, obviously I couldn't maintain it mentally or physically. I had a complete breakdown. And it was there actually in a horrible, horrible dark place that, like you said in my introduction, I discovered some holistic therapy. And that was actually acupuncture. And that just gave me a little bit of space, a little bit of time to breathe and sort of work my way out of this mental health breakdown that I was having. And from there, you know, I really just saw a completely different way of healing. Actually, you know, I don't need to take a tablet necessarily that the doctor's given me that's actually not helping and making me feel worse. I can find a natural way to look after myself and heal. And, you know, that passion just started because it helped me so much. And once I started to get better and find out more about these holistic and natural therapies, I just had to pass them on to other people. Mm. You know, I was like, you know, you have to try this stuff. So, of course, you know, studying it and finding out more and then setting up my own well-being business just made absolute sense to me. And that's where the well-being business started. And, you know, I'm still on my own healing journey now, but everything I learn, you know, I study, everything I use for myself, I try and pass on to my clients now. And that's where I am at now. And it's really wonderful.
Yeah, I love that you say that you're still on the journey, because there's this tendency for some, and it's not a judgment, it's more of an observation, that they project this I'm all fixed, come and do what I did type of approach, when actually you say you're all fixed, you're just about to stumble into the next disaster.
I think, absolutely.
It's never that you're all fixed. You're just in some regards, if you want to call it anything, maybe you're a few steps in front of other people, maybe. I don't know,
sometimes maybe, yes, but sometimes not.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very organic journey. And you've learned some things and you found them really helpful and you want to pass them along. I mean, I've got a couple of questions. This is what I do, ask questions.
Go for it.
But like, first thing I'd say is that, you know, around medication and stuff, you know, medication, antidepressants specifically, for some people, that is definitely the crutch that they need at the time. And for some very serious mental health issues, it might be something that they have to accept for the rest of their life. But there are a lot of people that are on antidepressants and they might not need to be.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, statistically, that's a fact. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I've always looked at them personally for the sort of average person, not that I like to say things that way, is that antidepressants are a wonderful crutch, much like when you break your leg and you need a crutch to move around and to be able to do the things that you need to do until your leg's strong enough to work normally without the crutch. And I think sometimes when people find themselves in a really dark, difficult place, those antidepressants can provide that crutch whilst you do the other work. But the key is to do the other work.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just giving you, I talked about antidepressants, and I don't mean to talk about them in a completely negative way,
because there has been
some points that in my mental health journey when I'm having extreme panic attacks that they did help me in that moment. But for me, it was like, how can I carry on masking this stuff that keeps coming up, you know? Because yes, they give you space to breathe, and yes, they're adding some balance within the body, but they're not working on healing any of the trauma. And that's where the issue was for me, that okay, I can keep taking this stuff and in the moment it's helping me, but I'm still just going around in circles. So if I really want to heal mind, body and soul, I need to do something that's natural, that's actually going to heal me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's it. Like, sometimes when you take those antidepressants, it can give you that, oh, it's all better now. But like you say, it's masking. It's arguably avoiding the sort of root cause of the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why I highlighted that, because first of all, I didn't want anyone who's on antidepressants to feel that that's necessarily wrong. But
absolutely not. But
secondly, it was for them to understand that the other work can happen in the background and that antidepressant can make it maybe easier. But the idea could be to maybe move away from that one day and be free of it. No one likes taking a pill every day, do they?
I just want people to know there's an alternative.
Absolutely.
If you are on antidepressants now and you're thinking about coming off them, obviously that's something you need to talk to your doctor about. You know, it's serious coming off medication like that. So it's not something you take lightly, but it's important for people to know that there is an alternative before they go on them, maybe.
Yeah, I love that. I really do, man. And I'm really interested, actually. Like you said about acupuncture, that surprised me. I don't know if I knew that. Like,
yeah,
people get back pain and whatnot, and people say, but acupuncture. But I don't think it. I'm not sure. I've never had it, but I'm not sure it works quite that way, does it? And I'm interested in what did the acupuncture do for you.
I mean, acupuncture is energy therapy. Okay. Yeah. And we'll talk about energy therapy in a little bit more, but it's essentially balancing your energy. Okay. And when I looked up anxiety and, you know, weird and wonderful ways you could treat it, which wasn't the natural or NHS sort of route, that popped up. And I thought, okay, you know, let's give this a go. I don't really understand what it's about or what it's going to do. But when I went and had it, you know, the man very much explained to me about energy and what he was doing. And that made me think, okay, this is interesting. Mm. And then when I had the therapy itself, I was just in this space of calmness. And when you've been having panic attacks constantly, you know, for maybe, I think it was maybe a month or so, I was stuck in this high sort of panic, and you're able to have some needles put in you and lay down and just be in this calm space, you're like, okay, you know, this is interesting. This actually works. I feel different.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't taken a tablet. I haven't taken a tranquilizer. I haven't put myself asleep or anything. I'm just laying here and feeling quite calm. So yeah, just open my eyes, actually. Okay, there's something in this energy thing. I need to look into this a bit more.
Yeah. I feel quite jealous. I think I might have to try acupuncture.
You must,
Can you do it just for shits and gigs?
Well, if you like needles being flicked into your body for that sort of stuff, you can give it a go. But honestly, I'd recommend anyone to try it for pain, for any like anxiety or any pain disorders, anything where you need balancing. Again, it's massive. And I have to give a shout out to Dr. Harold because he was who introduced holistic therapy to me. He was amazing, lovely old gentleman. And he talked to me so much about energy and how holistic therapy works. It really opened up my eyes. So, you know, that was really the start of me really coming interested in holistic and energetic therapies.
Oh, I love it how organic it just evolved for you, man. Yeah. That's lovely, because I mean I often say it to clients, like how we feel can affect how we think, and how we think can affect how we feel.
Absolutely.
And they're very different approaches.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, you know, sometimes when you're in that really dark place, it's really difficult for you to do the things that you know are going to help you, or you feel that might help you. Matter of fact we tend to gravitate towards the less helpful things, like alcohol and drugs.
We do.
That's why I was interested. Like, one of the things you mentioned, you said you wasn't looking after yourself.
Yeah.
So what did you mean when you said you wasn't looking after yourself? And then when you did start looking after yourself, what did you do?
I mean, I was expecting to feel different, but by doing the same thing. So I didn't want to make any changes. I just wanted to feel better. Yeah. I didn't want to stop going out at the weekend and partying and have a come down all Monday. I wanted that to just stop, but I didn't want to actually stop, change my actions, you know. So there was all these thoughts in my mind that I wanted so much different for myself, but I couldn't seem to actually get out of that cycle of, you know, going out at the weekend when I didn't have my daughter. You know, the first thing I'd want to do is, okay, I need to release. I need to get away from all of this. And that would be my escape. But guess what? By Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I was even more depressed and thinking I don't want this for my life. So I was really stuck in a vicious cycle. And it's when I stopped drinking excessively, when I stopped partying and started getting sort of sleep at the weekend, that's when I thought, okay, I'm feeling a lot better here.
Did a sleep thing.
Yeah, who needed sleep? And, you know, I was just stuck in a rut, really. I was stuck in a vicious cycle. And I see it with some of my friends now. You know, their answer is to go out and get smashed at the weekend to release all their stress that they've accumulated over the week. And then, you know, you read their social media on Monday and you can see they're crying out for help. You know, they're not happy. So, you know, a lot of people get stuck in this vicious cycle, and I was one of those people. So when I stepped out of it, yeah, I did really notice a difference. I had time for myself rather than everything was so rushed and stressed before. You know, everything was about getting to the weekend. And actually, because I wasn't just rushing to the weekend, I could try and be present and I could breathe a little bit more. You know, it just felt a lot calmer not being out every weekend partying. So that was sort of step one, just reducing that. But, you know, there was a lot more work that come after that, you know, changing my diet, reconnecting to fitness and nature and stuff. There's a lot more that I did after that, but that's all sort of come gradually. But step one was definitely, you know, stop going out, partying, staying up all night, you know, putting stuff in your body that's going to make you feel unbalanced. You know, that was definitely step one for me and the biggest game changer, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, what strikes me is, like, how obvious it sounds, but yeah, you're absolutely right. People don't do it.
No.
And that's the bit that's always about everything I've ever done when it comes to coaching and helping people is I endeavor to understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
Like, because most of us know, let's take something simple, like somebody that wants to lose weight. They know what the equation is. They know that they need to move a little bit more and they need to eat a little bit less. But telling somebody that, like, who's finding that challenging, is like telling someone that came second in a race, you should have run faster. It's like, it's just not helpful.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that spot right there that, like, okay, obviously if I go to bed earlier and I stop drinking and I stop doing all those things, I'm going to get better. But doing it is so difficult. And when you have that anxiety and it goes away, the other part to it is I had a client one time where we were working all these different things around anxiety, and the anxiety started to taper off a little bit and she started to feel much better. And then a few weeks later, she felt anxious, or what she thought was anxiety. And the only thing we could work out that was going on is she was anxious about not being anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she is so used to being anxious all the time, having things to worry about, every little thing, you know, that because she didn't have that and she had these great management tools and that she was sort of preparing for life and organizing herself, there was no anxiety and it felt wrong. Because it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, is that something that you encountered when you started to work on yourself?
I think for me, like with anxiety, I was stuck in like a huge, again, vicious cycle with anxiety, because even though I'd stepped away from having panic attacks all the time, I was always anxious about them happening. Yeah. So I was anxious about being anxious, and that it was the cycle that I was in for a good, I would say only the last couple of years that I've stepped out of that cycle. Even though my anxiety is minimized, probably every year I do work, my anxiety minimizes. And I would say it's 95% gone now, but it's something that took time. I mean, my kids are my trigger for anxiety, so we'll talk about that later. But, you know, I was definitely stuck in this cycle that I was always worried that if I stepped out of my little comfort zone, that anxiety would come and find me. You know, it was just waiting around the corner for me. And so I'd always be anxious about being anxious. And if I had to step out of my normal routine, and still to this day, you know, if I had to go and do something, for example, I went and did some corporate work in London last year, and that's not something that I've done for a long time because of lockdown. I felt a little bit anxious. I was stepping out of my comfort zone, you know. And then I was thinking, well, what if I get anxiety when I'm doing the workshop? And then I thought, well, I'm now feeling anxious about being anxious. And I'm not even anxious yet. So, you know, it's still a bit of a vicious cycle for me. And that's why the mindset training that I do is so helpful, because it sort of interrupts those cycles. But, you know, I think anxiety is always going to be something that I battle with, because I am an overthinker. That's just part of my personality. And my personality as well is that I am an empath. So, you know, I very much take on other people's energy and stuff. So, you know, I'm always going to have to deal and work on my anxiety, I think. But the last time I had a panic attack was probably about 5-6 years ago. So that is amazing. Amazing. Yeah, when fantastic. I was having them every week for like a year or so, that's like, thank the Lord. So their panic attacks have gone, but you know, anxiety is something I still work on. And I think a lot of people that have deep anxiety because of the way their personality is, or because of any childhood trauma, or they've got different layers of anxiety triggers, then I've noticed within my clients that a lot of people continuously work on anxiety. Some people, not all of them.
No, but I love the way you've everything you said there. You're absolutely right, and I adore the fact that you say that you're still battling your anxiety, because there might be some people that say, well, what can you tell me about anxiety if you're still feeling anxious and stuff?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anyone better. You know, it's like the PT that's never been overweight, you know, very difficult to understand. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying it's difficult to understand if you've never had that challenge. The fact that you understand when someone sits with you and explains to you anxiety, you get it.
I do, definitely. Absolutely. And I think that helps. I think it helps my client open up to me, because guess what? I'm telling you about my anxiety and they're like, okay, I can relate to that. And everyone's anxiety can be different, but there are definitely some like core fundamental things that people struggle with. Yeah. And I think like being anxious about being anxious is definitely seems to be a cycle that people get stuck in.
Yeah. And I think you're talking about effectively is fear. And there's that saying, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And it's, I remember watching a thing that Will Smith did, and he was talking about he went skydiving. Do you ever see that?
No, I don't think
Well, he was saying that like him and the lads went out and they got drunk, and then one of them said, "Hey, let's do a skydive." And he was like, "Yeah, let's do it. And then he woke up in the morning a bit hungover and he's like, "No one's going to want to do a skydive." Like, that was just drunk talk. And he come downstairs and everyone was ready to go.
Oh, wow.
He was like, "What is happening here? This is bad." Yeah. Like, so he kept thinking that it was a joke or they were all going to pull out or whatever. No one could have breakfast. So they were all sat in his van. And he said, "I felt sick. I felt anxious as hell. I thought, what am I doing?" He said they went through all the prep and all the training and everything. And then they went up in this plane. And he said, like, I was thinking to myself, this is actually going to happen. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. And he said, I was so scared.
Game over.
Yeah, and he said it was made worse by the fact that he was a grown man sitting on another grown man's lap. And he said, that didn't help.
And he's Will Smith, of course.
Yeah, he's Will Smith. He said, I sat down looking at him going, "Hi, do this a lot, do you?" He's like, "I hope so, you know." But he said, like, he was standing at the door about to jump out of the plane and they said, "On three, and then we jump." And he said, yeah. And he said, so they count and they go 1, 2, and then they jump, because on three, most people grab onto the doors.
Freeze. Yeah.
And then they freeze. So he said, but what he learned was he spent that whole night and morning anxious, scared.
Yeah.
But when he jumped out of that plane, when he actually did it, he said it was one of the best experiences he's ever had. He said he never felt anything like it. And the point he was making is that it was the fear of doing it. That was the thing that caused him all
the
of
worst
the stress.
Part. Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're saying is, like, you know, it's that fear of something bad happening.
Yeah.
You know, that's anxiety. I heard the worst and best definition of anxiety I ever heard, which is like the awareness of infinite possibility. I was like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's shocking. But I mean, thank you for that. I mean, you've got an incredible story. And, you know, I think there's no one better to teach people and help people with anxiety than someone that's had it to that degree.
Yeah, I'm so passionate about it because, you know, if I stayed in the space that I was in when I was in my dark place, I wouldn't be here today. So, you know, this stuff actually, it not only changed my life, it actually saved my life as well. So I'm super passionate about it.
Yeah.
I could talk about it for hours, John.
Yeah, well, maybe we will.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the things you speak about is sort of that healing journey and that movement from how you were suffering with anxiety all the way through to sort of, like, you know, basically working on your mental and emotional well-being. So firstly, how would you define the term healing concerning mental and emotional health and well-being?
Okay, so what I have to say, and this is what we always have to clarify, I am not a healer. So what I'm not doing is healing people. Okay. Mm. So even though we say I'm an energy healer, I'm a Reiki healer, I am not healing people. Healing is essentially self-healing. Okay. So I am introducing energy therapies and tools for people to self-heal. Okay. And what that means is that we're working with mind, body, and soul. So we're working on different levels. We're working with the whole body, the whole mind, the whole soul, the whole spirit. You know, it's like a wrap around, you know, when we're healing like that, we're self-healing. So, you know, for me, healing really just equals self-healing. It's really about mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love about it. You're empowering people. Whereas in conventional medicine, let's say, I know you're not necessarily prescribing medicine, but treatments is probably a better word. It's more about a dependency. Here's a tablet, or here's a person you need to go and see. And what I get when I speak to you is that you're empowering people to learn some tools to understand a helpful perspective, because we often can't change the things that cause us the trauma. Things have happened, and as much as we might sit and wish and hope and pray that things would be different, they're not. And that's the first hard step for me on my journey of healing, emotional healing and trauma healing. The first thing I had to come to terms with was stop dodging and realize that you have to accept this thing.
Yeah.
And when you accept it, it doesn't mean that you have to love it. You don't have to forgive anybody. You don't have to go out there and be like, "No, I'm all fixed. I'm okay." It's about going, "Okay, this happened. And it was really, really bad. And the reason I feel the way I do is because it was really, really bad."
Absolutely.
And
I
accept that. And then that is almost like that awareness is that first step towards it. I'm not sure you can really go much further until you've done that bit, which is
absolutely
really significant and hard.
But it's really painful, and a lot of people, you know, they run away from that stuff their whole life.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not easy. Yeah, yeah, it's not easy. And when people go on this sort of healing journey or self-healing journey, a lot of people think it's all love, light, rainbows. It's not. No. It's really not. It's like facing really dark stuff that, you know, for me, like stuff in my childhood and then stuff that happened, you know, over the years in my teenage years, in relationships and stuff. It's all stuff that I was holding on to that felt really heavy and dark and horrible. And it's all stuff that I had to face and work on. And that wasn't fun. No. But, you know, to get to this place now where I feel calm and content, I had to do that work.
Yeah. And I mean, what was the, did you ever do any sort of like talking therapy or anything like that? Did you ever
absolutely
do that?
Throughout like my teenage years, I've done loads of different like traditional stuff that the doctors would have sent me to, you know. I've done different counseling with different people, and this is what I found about counseling. And I'm not going to disrespect counseling, because I actually trained in counseling as well, and it is really important to be able to talk. Okay. But what I found is that, okay, I've talked to this lady that I've been seeing for the last 6 weeks. I've told her everything. What do I do now? Yeah. What do I do myself now? Yeah. You know, I'm going to see her next week and talk more. What do I do in between?
Yeah.
You know, so it was great to talk, but I didn't really, I needed something else. I needed some direction and what to do next, and not just to talk about it. So talk therapy helped me, but it kind of opened up a bit of a can of worms I didn't really know what to do with. Yeah. So, and I studied psychology for quite a few years, and traditionally I wanted to be a counsellor. But when I noticed that I volunteered at a women's centre. So I was volunteering as a counsellor there for about a year and a support worker. And again, what I noticed, great, let the women talk to you. They need someone to talk to, but they need advice as well. What am I going to do next?
Yeah.
What tools can I do to sort of manage this stuff? And when I was studying psychology, I went to a part that was all about mindfulness. And that just like really struck a chord for me that actually, why don't I tell these people that I'm doing talk therapy with that they could also practice some breathing and trying to be present, because that reduces anxiety, stress and depression as well. So it was like combining a bit of talking, a bit of sort of guidance and life coaching with actually a tool that they could take with them as well. And I noticed that that worked really well. So that's what I've sort of taken into my business as well. Not only getting people in to have some Reiki or some relaxation, give them a tool as well to take with them that they need that moment to work with, you know.
You know what? You've absolutely nailed that, because I think you're right. That is probably the one thing that I hear the most, that when people go to therapy, and again, it does matter who you go to. Like if you build a rapport with someone, it's much easier to have difficult conversations and discuss like painful things. But I think what therapy might do is bring that awareness of what the, because one of the things that really always often makes me chuckle in a way is that I am a sort of witness to domestic violence and had loads of physical abuse as a kid, but, and as at hands of my dad. But when I went to therapy, honestly, I was surprised when it was about that. I sat there and I was just like, no, it's not about my dad. It's that, everybody has that going on. And I was, that's the resistance. The conflict was building. So I was resisting. So it wasn't that it wasn't about my dad. It was that I didn't want it to be about him.
Yeah.
And then once I accepted that it was, and that there was nothing to be done as such, it felt like I could stop looking behind me. I could finally turn around and go, okay, what's next? And I think that's what therapy gave me. But I think you're right. There does come a point where it's like, great, I know what's happened. I'm working on accepting it, or I have accepted it. And some days you unaccept it, and that's okay too. Today I'm
taking
having
it
a,
back.
I don't want to accept it today. I'm good. You know, but like, I think that what's next is absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I think that talking raises awareness and it sort of starts that journey towards acceptance. But I think it's the things that you do for yourself that make the biggest difference.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important that there's people out there like yourself who are teaching these things, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you help people understand what's meant by energetic therapies, energy healing, and the concept of our energy? Because I am fascinated by this at the moment. So go for it.
Okay. I mean, you probably noticed that a lot of people are talking about energy frequencies. It's a lot more talked about at the moment because there is, you know, a huge shift of energy happening at the moment. But let me rewind before I go to that bit. So, you know, actually studying science and psychology gave me a real understanding of energy. And when I studied energy, and the study of energy is actually the study of quantum physics. Okay. So when I talk about energy, it's not no hippy dippy treatment. You know, this is a real thing. Okay. And a lot of people.
I love the way you do this. It's great.
I love it. You know, but a lot of people think because you can't see it, you know, it's a myth. You know, okay, you can't see gravity, but it's not a myth. You know,
you can't see Bluetooth or Wi-Fi either.
Exactly. You know, but some people think that, oh, you know, what all this energy stuff. But, you know, it's a very scientific thing. Rewind to, you know, Nikola Tesla, Einstein, you know, their studies is all about energy. You know, how energy affects us. Every single object holds, attracts and radiates energy. Mm-hmm. Okay, every single object. And human beings massively do that. Okay, so every human being holds energy, releases energy, attracts energy. Okay, and you've got to think, how is your energy made? Okay, so your energy is made mostly by your thoughts and feelings. Okay, so if your thoughts and feelings are really positive and uplifting, then you'll probably have a really positive and uplifted energy. If you are stressed, you're anxious, you're worried, you're negative, then you're probably going to have quite a lot of negative energy in the body. Okay, and let's think about that more. So if we hold a lot of negative energy in our body, that means we radiate a lot of negative energy. That means we attract that negative energy back to us. Okay. Yeah. And but it's vice versa for positive energy well. Okay. And that's when we talk about the law of attraction as well, which is AKA manifestation. Okay. And again, it's all people think this is like, you know, this myth. It's not. The law of attraction is something that's happening with or without your consent, just like the law of gravity. You know, energy is a real thing. And once you get your head around that, then you start to think a lot differently. Okay. Yeah. So for me as a child and then moving into a teenager and an adult, going through a lot of trauma, okay, I created a lot of negative energy and I felt that negative energy. I didn't know it was negative energy, but I felt heavy as anything. I felt heavy on my chest, on my heart. My stomach was like in a knot. It was so tight, you know, all of this stuff. And all of this stuff where I was so heavy of energy actually affected my mental health and my physical health as well. Okay, and that's important to understand. A lot of people that are suffering with chronic pain probably are stressed and anxious. Okay, 90% of chronic pain becomes from stress and anxiety.
90?
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I did read a study and I'm pretty sure that's factual. But if anyone else knows otherwise, I'm sorry. But I think that's pretty factual that most chronic pain is caused by stress and anxiety.
Wow. Okay? Let's just stop for a second there. Like most chronic pain, that's like, because I've seen that quite a few times. I've seen that, especially lower back pain.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, like nerve problems as well. A lot of people with nerve problems have stress and anxiety because the, you know, the body, if it's holding a lot of negative energy, it can't work properly. Yeah. It can't flow. All of your organs, they cannot work properly if they're too busy trying to fight off all this negative energy.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It really does make sense. And you probably notice that, you know, you'll meet someone that has a really great energy and you'll vibe off that energy hard. You'll feel that real positive energy flowing around you. But again, vice versa, you probably know someone in your life that drains the hell out of you.
Yeah. I used to have a neighbor like that. And I used to say to him morning, and then you'd be there for the next 20 minutes listening
just
to
offloading.
All his problems. So what I got to in the end was, morning, Gary. And then I used to say, how are you, Gary? Which is the big mistake. And then he would say, oh, not very good. And I'd go, oh, I hope it gets better. Bye. I haven't got time for you this morning, Gary. Sorry.
But people like you and people like me will attract those sort of people. Okay. Yeah. That's why you're doing the job you do. And that's why I do the job I do, because people want to come to you for safety, for positive energy, for calmness, you know. But you have to also be careful of that you're not giving away too much of your energy to other people. So you have to protect your energy, you know. And again, all these tools that I work with and teach my clients help them understand how to manage their own energy, as well as me helping them with energy. So, I mean, energy healing, okay, again, I'm not healing. It's promoting self-healing in your body. Mm. And this is when I talk about this, people's eyes sort of like, and their mouth opens because they think, what on earth is she saying? And it's really hard to explain energy healing. And when you have an energy healing session, you'll completely understand what I'm saying. So let me try and explain it to you. But if you're listening and you don't know what I'm saying, you have to try an energy healing session to understand what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. So bear in mind that your whole body is a mass of energy. And if you have any sort of negative energy, the body isn't balanced, it isn't flowing. My job as an energy healer is to connect to, with Reiki itself, is to connect to a higher energy, and we call it a universal energy, and introduce this universal energy into my client. And that universal energy will help balance and release negative energy. Mm. That's what I mean. You're like, whoa.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's Reiki, but there are loads of other energy therapies, but all of them essentially are working on balancing your internal energy and releasing negative energy that's within your body. That's what energy therapy is. It's trapping, it's releasing trapped negative energy. And when we release our negative energy, everything in our body, mind, body, and soul can become balanced again. So energy is really important. And like I say, it's not a myth. It's really happening,
I tell you why this is so fascinating to me is because I've resisted these sort of conversations for a really long time, and I've done exactly what you're referring to, eye rolling, like, yeah, okay, energy, but I can't help it. Life is directing me towards this. And
People are noticing that, John. It's not just a lot of people really noticing that energy is actually becoming more apparent. And that's why I said at the beginning there, at the moment, you know, university, we're going through a huge energetic shift. So everybody is sort of noticing that they're feeling a little bit different. So they're being drawn to stuff that they weren't drawn to before. They're wanting to remove stuff from their life that doesn't fit them anymore. Yeah, we're almost all going through this sort of shift universally together, where anything that doesn't align with our energy is sort of being released and being removed.
What do you think that's... What do you think is causing that?
You know, there's been huge changes in the universe and the world, huge changes. And when, you know, and I'm going quite spiritual here. So, that's, you know, and when we talk about energy, essentially spirituality is connecting to energy and working with energy.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual world, you know, we really believe that the whole shift of energy in the world's changing at the moment. We're moving into a new era where we're going to be dealing with a more feminine energy. Okay. So we've had a real masculine dominant energy over the last hundreds of years. And now we're moving into this new feminine, sort of more balanced, more calm, more nurturing era.
What does that mean? Because I've always, I'm yet to really understand the masculine feminine energy.
But if you think about the yin yang, okay, the yin yang is the masculine and feminine energy, okay. And if you think about what a female represents, okay, that's the energy that we're talking about, nurturing, caring. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about what the male energy represents, sorry, John, you are male. It does relate quite a lot to ego and power. Yeah. Okay, so that's the difference of the energy, that we've had a lot of power and a lot of ego happening with the male, and that is why we end up in a lot of conflict most of the time. Yeah. But we're moving into this new era where it's a more calm, feminine sort of energy, and because of that, a lot of people are sort of releasing a lot of stuff that doesn't align with them anymore.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I feel that, and I hear it a lot. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've heard say they're struggling with their sleep at the moment.
Yeah, massive.
And it's not an age thing. It is universally, like, young and old people are struggling with sleep. I've noticed the moon's been going a bit mental recently. Yeah. I've seen the moon in the day and night more than I ever remember seeing it. And I don't know.
Isn't that interesting that you're now noticing this stuff?
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. Like, I don't know whether it's always been there and I never noticed it, or whether it's something different. But I'm definitely, there's a new and curious awareness that's developing within me, and I get quite excited about it. That's one of the reasons why I was quite keen to talk to you, because it is that feeling is definitely excitement. Like, I'm like, oh, this feels right, this feels like I'm going in the right direction, you know.
Yeah,
and I like that feeling. So I'm just making sure we've answered the question. I think we talk about energetic therapies, energy healing, and the concept of energy, but I think you've answered that.
I think I mean, there's so much more I could talk about with energy. I think I'll maybe mention one more thing, which is your chakras.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people probably heard about, you know, the word chakras, but I'm not sure everyone really knows what a chakra is. And again, I'm trying to sell something that you can't actually see. So a lot of people think that, chakras. But, you know, again, a myth, not a myth. Okay. Yeah. Chakras, as I said, your whole body is a mass of energy and your chakras are almost like energy wheels. And you actually have loads of chakras, but I work with seven sort of main chakras, which run from the top of the head all the way down to the base of the spine. And these chakras, like I say, they're wheels, so they're turning your energy. So if any of your energy is blocked in any of these sort of chakras from 1 to 7, then you'll notice that you'll have a problem with that area. So for example, if the throat chakra is blocked, you'll probably notice that you really struggle to speak out, that you have a sore throat quite a lot of the time. Or if the top of the tummy is blocked, then you might notice that you have a real, and this is what I had, if you have anxiety, it's quite likely that the solar plexus, which is at the top of your tummy, will shut down. So you get this knot in your tummy. Okay. Yeah. And when the solar plexus is shut down, it affects the rest of your digestive system. So that's why a lot of people struggle with the digestive system when they're struggling with anxiety as well.
Yeah,
your chakras are there to sort of keep your energy balancing and flowing. And if one of them's blocked, then you'll have a problem in that area, whether it's physical or mental. So chakras are very relevant when it comes to energy.
Wow. Wow, I almost need a minute. Like, you're blowing
my
mind.
Does that make sense to you?
No, it really makes sense to me. It also speaks to sort of, like you say, if there's one at the bottom of your spine, that makes sense if somebody's
which is your root
chakra.
Yeah, your root chakra. And a lot of people that suffer, again, with anxiety or have been through trauma will suffer with back pain, because the root chakra is all about being grounded, feeling safe and secure. So if you've been through trauma as a child, you haven't felt safe and secure for long periods of time, it's probably quite likely that your root chakra has lots of negative energy, which is then going to affect the rest of your body, you know. So your chakras are very relevant. A lot of people, when they come and have Reiki, I'll really notice that one of their chakras in particular will have a blockage. And when I tell them what that chakra means, it will make complete sense to them.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, well, yeah, that's exactly how I feel at the moment.
Man, you're blowing my mind. You literally,
I told you, John, this energy stuff is out there. Yeah,
you're blowing my mind. I'm just Johnny. I can't handle this.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
No, it's fantastic. It really is fantastic. Like, I can't tell you how much in this moment the stuff that you're saying is making sense to me. So I have to remain professional and continue podcasting.
Don't get too excited right now.
So, I mean, we're going to take a bit of a shift. I wanted people to understand what we're talking about when we talk about healing. I wanted people to understand what we're talking about when we talk about energy. And you've explained it probably in the best way I've ever heard it explained, actually, if I'm completely honest. Like, you know, you've not gone, you know, because I think you're right. Some people, they get put off by the spiritual aspects of it.
Yeah.
But you've come at it from a very psychological, very scientific, very practical way, which it sort of, not undeniable, nothing is undeniable, but it makes a lot of damn sense when you say it. I tell you.
I think it does. It made more sense to me because I didn't start off being really into spirituality.
I was going to say, Vicky, I used to know, didn't no. didn't. She won't put out that in the world.
No. I mean, that's the route I've been taken through understanding energy. But science was actually something that I really enjoyed at school and what I studied after school as well. And understanding it from a scientific point of view, you know, if you understand quantum physics, you'll understand energy and how intelligent energy is, really helped me. And that helps me explain it to my client as well, I think, because, you know, I'm, you know, Tesla says this. It's not just Vicky saying this. Tesla says this too. You know, there's a lot more evidence behind it than people think.
But I think there's also like a reassurance and a reliability that comes with science, you know. Like, you know, science is sort of not fact, because sometimes we can find it's different, you know, but most of the time it's consistent, and that's why it's called science, because it's, they've experimented and consistently we get this result, and that's reassuring, isn't it,
you know?
So we're going to take that shift back towards anxiety. What have you learned about anxiety and the long-term and short-term approaches towards overcoming this sort of really challenging experience?
So, you know, I learned a lot from my own anxiety, which we've talked about briefly already, about the patterns sort of in my own anxiety that I had, you know, the vicious cycle of anxiety. But what I've noticed within my clients is that, and I've termed it like this, I've termed it as long and short term anxiety. And this is only something that I've noticed probably mostly after lockdown. Okay. Mm. So people come to me all the time with anxiety. That seems to be the biggest problem that I deal with. And a lot of people come with quite complex anxiety, I would call it. You know, maybe it's come from childhood trauma, or like me, it's sort of over the years, I've created loads of triggers for my own anxiety because of the stuff that I've, the trauma that I've sort of been through. But what I noticed after lockdown is that people that are not overthinkers, people that aren't empaths, are now suddenly experiencing anxiety. And I was like, okay, this is different. And what I noticed with these people is that they maybe come in for one or two sessions and it was gone like that. Anxiety over. Because they're not overthinkers. They're not empaths. Yeah. Okay. They just needed to release the negative energy that they've accumulated and have a quick re-switch of the mindset.
So when I'm just chuckling because it's like people like us in past, we'll think our feelings into a problem all day long. We love it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's our job. Yeah. That's our hobby.
Yeah, that's what we do. It's like, what are you doing? I've just created a problem. Just give me a minute.
But not everybody's like that. Not everyone with anxiety has really complex anxiety because they're overthinkers or because they've been through childhood trauma. Some people have just recently connected to fear. Okay, and I noticed that because of lockdown and because of COVID and everything.
Well, it was on the news every day. It was being us every day.
Well, these people that have never had anxiety, never been overthinkers, and you know, almost looked at people with anxiety like, oh, you know, come on, get it together, are suddenly experiencing anxiety. And we could work on that quite quickly because, like I say, we'd have to just release the negative energy they've created from the fear. And then we might say something like, I let go of fear. Or I might just say something simple like turn off the TV, stop watching TV, go out for walks every day. I'll do some Reiki on you. Anxiety's gone. Okay, problem solved. But we've also, you know, a lot of people, it's much more complex than that. And it is a bit of a journey dealing with anxiety because, okay, we've worked on one part of your anxiety or one thing that's caused your anxiety. But there's actually like, it's like an onion. There's like layers and layers of reasons why you are anxious, why you do not feel safe. Yeah. And actually, again, studying science helped me so much and psychology, because understanding the fight or flight response or the stress response made me really understand what was happening to my body when I had anxiety. Okay. And, you know, when you're having an extreme anxiety or panic attack and, you know, people are saying to you, just breathe, it's okay, you know, having a heart attack. I'm telling you now, what's going on with your body, it does not feel like you're just having a little bit of anxiety.
No,
you know, it does feel like it's extreme. You know, you do feel like there's something really majorly going wrong there. You know, so there can be quite complex anxiety, but some of it is a bit more simple. But, it does take time to work on it. We've always got to work on our anxiety. Sorry, I got lost with my last thread there, what I was talking about.
No, not at all. No. But I mean, one of the things that really that you brought to my sort of mind there is sort of the energy in, energy out thing you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And actually, you're right. Like if you're taking in, it's not just, you know, the things we put in our body aren't just the liquids and the foods. It's all the stimulation, the music, the television, the people, whatever it is, our environments.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you're waking up every morning and sticking on the news and with your morning coffee, you're watching a death toll.
Yeah.
On the bottom right of a television.
Oh, yeah. The fear is isn't it?
That is you are being drip-fed fear. It's no surprise to me at all that your anxiety is high. And also the other part to it is that I suppose when people realize that they can experience anxiety, it must like proverbially open the door to that anxiety idea. But like if you don't believe in anxiety, if you're someone that's like, oh, just, you know, put yourself together, let's crack on. If that's been your ethos of life the whole time, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, anxiety can get me too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when that what you were talking about earlier, that that fear of getting anxiety starts. You know, what if this happens again? What if I'm somewhere and this happens to me again? You know, that journey with anxiety starts. And that's why I talk about it and you talk about it in a long-term and short-term thing, because there are things like panic attacks that technically in that moment are a short-term thing. They are a panic attack. It's happening now and at some point it will stop. But then there's that long-term anxiety, that everyday fear, the fear that we all have, like the fear that, you know, the irrational fears we have, like something might happen to our children or something might happen to our partner or we might lose our job or we might, you know, nuclear war, whatever it is you want to talk about.
Well, there's a lot of fear, you know, there's a lot of fear and things to worry about if we choose to connect to them out there right now.
Of course.
And a lot of people do choose. A lot of people do choose to stay connected to this stuff, even though they know it's increasing their anxiety and fear. And actually, it might not even be 100% factual. People still like to focus on fear. And again, that's something that I've noticed, that, you know, people actually... they almost set their own triggers off because they're stuck in this cycle of behavior again. Yeah. And when I talk about my clients that have got anxiety that seems a bit more complex than something just like it's because of lockdown and because of COVID, then we really have to find out like what the triggers are for their anxiety. Definitely. You know, and that's where, again, talking comes into it, and it is helpful because we can talk through scenarios that have actually increased your anxiety. But, you know, it's always helpful to tell the client about the stress response. You know, if you are going to tell yourself that you are not safe, your body will respond to that by going into fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are turning your anxiety on, which is helpful sometimes.
You're
weaponizing it. Yeah, you are, because you're sitting there telling yourself that you are not safe. You know, this is negative. This is going to happen. This could happen. You know, you're always projecting into the future of what could happen. Yeah. And then you're turning your stress response on. Okay. And what can happen as well, because some people say, well, you know, Vicky, there's nothing that's made me anxious, but today I felt really anxious for no reason whatsoever. And this is how I explain that. When you turn your stress response on too much, that button will stay on. Okay. So if you've been in a high stressful situation for a long period of time, and that's what I did to myself, that I was having anxiety, you know, for a long period of time, in the end, my stress response button stayed firmly on. Okay. And for 2 weeks, that stress response button was on, and it was the worst 2 weeks of my life. Because when I woke up, anxiety there, you know, when I went downstairs, anxiety was there, and there was no reason for it, but it followed me every single second. And that's what I've noticed in my clients as well, that if you do not do something to disconnect from this stress response button, it will stay on, and it will take some time until you for it to come off as well. And that people that have lived in trauma, so, you know, people that have lived in trauma for a long time, their stress response button is always on because they are prepared for fight or flight.
That's me, man. Like, I'm really like, my kids call me a fun sponge, man. Like, you know, because I will take the fun out of anything. They're like, hey, Dad, can we go running down the sand dunes at Crantock? And I'll be like, no, you can't do that. But it's fun, yes, but you could also break your leg. You could also do this. And it's like,
but that's
wow.
Where mindfulness is helpful because mindfulness is staying in the moment. And when we're in the moment, we're content. You know, if we stay in the future, if we're always predicting the future, we create fear. If we go back to the past, we're creating depression. So when we're present, we can connect to calmness and content. You know, so again, all these tools sort of come together to work with anxiety.
Yeah, sorry, I'm smiling at your danger. That's exactly how it's just like everywhere's dangerous. Everywhere.
But that's a pattern that's been created in your body, you know, in your mind.
Well, it
that
makes
is,
sense.
In your brain.
I was in danger when I was a kid. I was in danger all the time, and looking for danger, looking for things that could perpetuate that danger or make it worse in any way was what I did. That's hypervigilance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, something I take from that is removing the triggers. And it's what you said, like the first thing you did when you started on your own healing journey was you took away the things that were triggering you, which was the alcohol, the staying up late, and all that sort of stuff. So, and what is brilliant is that you're highlighting, you won't be able to do that until you know what they are.
Yeah.
What are they?
Yeah.
What are the things that you are doing that aren't helping? Let's get honest with ourselves. Let's be
people
honest.
Know, I think, but they don't want to admit it. Because if you partying at the weekend and you know on Monday to Wednesday you're going to have high anxiety, you don't want to link them two together. Like, oh, no, it won't because I was out all weekend.
Nah, it
not because I didn't sleep all weekend. I took loads of
alcohol.
Drugs.
I was out of alcohol. I was like, I call it the elephant in the room wearing a lampshade telling me it was a lamp.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm a lamp. I'm like, okay, you're a lamp. Cool.
But I think only when people, and again, when I had that space to stop going out at the weekend and partying, I took a step back from it. I could actually see that, okay, I'm not feeling like suicidal Monday to Wednesday now.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't have known that if I didn't try it.
Yeah. And I suppose that's a good way to frame it, really. Like, what have you got to lose? Try it.
Yeah. Try make something different because you're going to get the same result. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same result. And as much as you want things to change, they won't change.
No, they won't. You're right. And that's hard to hear. And I'm sorry for somebody that's listening to this and that is hard to hear. I'm sorry that's hard to hear.
Yeah, but that is a cold truth, I think.
But it does, just because something is difficult to hear, it doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
And that's an important distinction to make. We're going to completely shift here.
Okay, go for it.
This one might really surprise people. But one of the things that you speak about is herbalism and cannabis for health.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I don't want people to misunderstand things. You know, we're not saying go out to your local dealer and get some cannabis. It's not what we're saying.
No, it's not what we're talking about.
No, what we're talking about is, and I think everyone's seen it, haven't they? In every health shop now, you've got CBD products and things like that. And that's sort of what we're more alluding to. But how can using herbal and cannabis remedies enhance a person's health and well-being? And are there any risks?
I mean, of course there's risks. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end. There's risks putting anything within your body, you know, a mushroom, a berry, you know, there's risks of everything going into your body. But the main benefits of using, you know, herbal and cannabis for healing is no nasty side effects. Okay. And a lot of people that come to me are trying to go on this natural path, are battling side effects of pharmaceuticals, and it's really hard on them. Okay. You know, they want to feel better. They're taking this something that's been prescribed to them, but that's making them feel worse. Where the hell do they go next? You know,
can we just frame that right? Because what I found interesting is when you look on the box of an antidepressant, it actually says in the symptoms that it can cause depression and anxiety. Yeah.
And coming off them even worse.
Yeah,
coming
off them. Sorry, a second. that's just like, that is an actual fact. If anyone's not sure that's true, go and have a look in your instruction on the little leaflet on the inside of it. It does say that, you know.
And even worse, when you come off them, and again, this is on the leaflet inside, when you come off antidepressants, one of the symptoms is feeling suicidal.
Wow.
Yeah, suicidal thoughts. And that's quite, actually, that's one of the main things that if you're taking painkillers as well, when you're coming off painkillers, that's one of the symptoms that is very well known. So, you know, and again, I'm not saying there's no place for
that.
I don't want people to think that. We're
demonizing it. We're just trying to give you the information.
We're talking about an alternative option. Okay. Yeah. We're not saying that you can't use that. We're talking about an alternative option that may be more gentle on your body. So if you're taking something that you're having really bad side effects from, then there may be an herbal alternative. Okay. Because there is a plant for every single ailment. Okay. And when I studied herbalism, and I don't know every single herb because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of herbs.
Wait,
where
did you find the time to study this stuff?
Lockdown.
What is going on?
I mean, I studied herbalism for about 12 months, and we go over a lot of herbs and the benefits of them. And it blew my mind that really, you know, any ailment within the body, there is a herb that you can find. Okay. But then in that, I was one of the super herbs that I studied in the Master Herbalism course was cannabis. Okay. And cannabis isn't one of the only super herbs. There are more. For example, turmeric's a super herb. Okay. There's some mushrooms at super herbs as well, but you know, it's not the only super herb, but it has a lot of potential for a lot of healing. And when people think of cannabis, they think of smoking it, but actually when you smoke cannabis, you actually burn away quite a lot of the health properties from it. So when I talk about cannabis from health, I'm not talking about smoking it. And you know, and again, there may be a place for that in some people's life, the therapeutic benefits on it, but the health benefits from cannabis come from not heating it. It comes from taking it in drops and oils and ointments. Okay. And it's I can't express enough, and it, again, this isn't just exclusive to cannabis, this is loads of other herbs as well. They can be anti-inflammatory. Okay. So they can replace ibuprofen that give you really nasty tummy ache. Okay. Or some people can't take ibuprofen because they've got stomach problems. They're anti-spasmatic. Okay. So they're a muscle relaxant as well. Cannabis is is neuroprotective, so it coats the neurons. So any problems that you're having with sort of nerve problems, it calms that down, it soothes it. It's anti-cancerous. It can starve cancerous cells, cannabis can. Okay. Wow. And that, again, it's not a myth. That's something that's real. There's so much evidence behind that. So much evidence. And when I studied it, I would read case study after case study on how herbs and cannabis can help people with their health, but not just when they're in a health crisis. And this, again, is quite a big point. It's a preventative as well.
Yeah, a maintenance thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can bring balance within to your body. You can restore balance within your body by using herbal supplements. But you've got to make sure that, and especially if you're taking pharmaceutical products alongside herbal supplements, that they don't interact badly with each other. Okay. That's the main point. That's probably the biggest risk. They don't interact badly with each other. Most herbs are fairly safe, but sometimes if you're taking something else, they can sort of work against each other. And I mean, the legality around cannabis as well is obviously a huge problem as in this country. But if you went to, you know, if you're in America or in a different country, you know, people are widely using cannabis for a multitude of problems, not just pain, you know, killing cancerous cells, relaxing the body, removing PTSD. And again, it's not just cannabis. There's so many herbs that you can use for all of these things. I mean, any problem that you can think of, I could probably suggest the herb to you to use.
Wow.
You know, and these herbs
you're
are fairly safe.
My own heart, man. You're a proper geek like me. I love it. I'll read a study on anything.
Well, I'll take my heart. It's called a herb Bible.
Is it?
So take my herb Bible out. I mean, it's massive. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of plants and herbs out there, but there's something for everybody out there. And it's a natural way of healing. And actually, we're not taking painkillers to mask the problem. We're taking something that's looking to heal the problem. Yeah, we're dealing with the problem. We're not masking the problem.
And we're not
causing other problems by having side effects as well.
That's a really good point. Not masking it, you're dealing with the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever read anything about Dr. Sebi?
Oh, I'm not sure. Tell me a little bit more and I'll tell you.
Well, I don't know a considerable amount. All I know is that he claims he was a doctor around herbs and things like that.
Right.
And he claims to have found solutions to things like cancer.
Yeah.
To all sorts of mental health and physical pain problems. And then he came up with all these different things and he healed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Okay.
He was the one that mysteriously died. I mean, we're starting to get towards conspiracies and stuff.
We don't want to go there,
but like, you know, there is a lot of risk if you find out. You can't trademark or patent anything that grows in nature.
Exactly.
So
how do you think the pharmaceutical companies feel about that?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And I think you're right. We'll leave it there.
Yeah. That's all I say about that one.
But the
main point is that there is a herb or a plant. If you're having a problem and you want an alternative to taking a pharmaceutical, then it's worth looking at. But you've got to look into it properly. And it's worth coming to somebody that is like myself, like a herbalist that's insured. So you can make sure that they're going to check that they're not giving you something. You know, you can go into Holland & Barrett's or any other, health shop, should I say.
Other health shops are available.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it is good to get some advice from a proper herbalist so you can make sure they're not going to interact badly, that they're the right herb for you, you know. But I would definitely recommend, you know, even something simple like half a teaspoon of turmeric in your water with some squeezed lemon every morning is so good for the digestive system. It's massively anti-inflammatory, it's simple, but it's effective. It really works. You know, try turmeric instead as an anti-inflammatory. Start with that. Start with something simple. A lot of these herbs are just in your cupboard right now, you know.
Turmeric's one I'm always hearing about, actually.
It's just really strong. It's nature's strongest anti-inflammatory. Why would you not take that?
It's big on TikTok right now.
It's big.
I've seen everybody on TikTok mixing turmeric with all sorts of things. Crazy. Won't be long before there's turmeric and vodka or something. It won't be long. I think we covered that. And again, you've got so much knowledge. And we've not ever got enough time, but we're going to try. So what is Reiki and EFT and what are the benefits?
Okay. So again, they're both energy therapies, but they're both presented and done very differently. So when you're having Reiki, essentially I'm doing Reiki on you. Okay. So unless you are attuned to Reiki like I am, you can't just do Reiki on yourself. And Reiki essentially is, like I said, it's more of a spiritual and energetic therapy because we are connecting to this higher power, this energy. And I like to see it when I'm doing Reiki as this like massive bright white light just pouring down from the sky, you know, and this white light's going into my body and then out of my hands into my client. Okay. And my client can feel that, you know, they can feel this energy transition. I can feel it as well. And the Reiki will guide me. And you can always imagine it like sonar. So, you know, breaking down accumulative energy. Okay. So sonar is searching for sort of lumps of energy or matter so they can, do you know what I mean? So it's sort of, and Reiki is doing the same thing. It's searching the body for sort of lumps or accumulated energy so it can work on breaking it down. But again, it's self-healing. You know, this light going into your body is promoting you to self-heal. I'm not healing you. So that's quite a big point with Reiki. It's not healing, it's self-healing. So essentially it is me connecting to this higher power and, you know, channeling that higher power into you so it can balance and remove negative energy from your body.
I love that.
And what happens in Reiki quite a lot is a lot of people have massive emotional releases because a lot of the time we're holding. And when I work with the heart, so again, I'm working with the seven chakras when I do Reiki. So when I work to the heart, you know, it can get quite intense if we're holding on to a lot of emotions, and we might feel this real tightness. And then all of a sudden my client and myself might start crying our eyes out because we get that release. Yeah.
I love that you let that happen to you as well. That's lovely.
Well, I mean, it does, because I'm connected to their energy at the time. And obviously I have to make sure that afterwards I'm doing what I need to do to clear all that stuff. But, you know, essentially that is what Reiki is doing, balancing with and removing with a higher power. But EFT is different. Again, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. Okay, and we talked about acupuncture earlier, and it actually works on the same principle as acupuncture. So in acupuncture, we work with an energy map, okay? So within your body, you can almost imagine you've got your chakras that are your energy wheels, and you can almost imagine this sort of underground railway system of energy flowing, yeah, like an underground map. Mm-hmm. And in, within that underground map is your stations, and those stations are like energy points.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And instead of putting needles into our body like we do in acupuncture at these stations or energy points, we tap. Okay. So, for example, if I tap the top of my eye, that's where my energy of anxiety can accumulate. So, if I just tap around the eye, then I can actually release some of that negative energy, some of that anxious energy. Wow. If I tap on my chest, I can actually uplift my energy. So if I'm tapping away on my chest, I can actually bring some positive energy to my body. So it's like tapping into different areas within the body and, again, removing, releasing and balancing energy. But what's slightly different with tapping, and this is where I find tapping is probably the most powerful, one of the most powerful tools I work with and transformational, is as we tap. So, for example, as we tap, I'm going to say an affirmation. So instead of saying, oh, my goodness, I'm anxious, I feel horrible, I'm scared, I'm going to say, I am calm, I am safe, I'm okay. I am calm, I'm safe, I'm okay. You see what I mean? So I'm creating a new sort of brain pattern whilst releasing the old stuff.
It's giving me goosebumps, that.
It's amazing, John, honestly. It's a really transformational tool.
I've done tapping before. I did a weekend of it with a very special lady, and it was incredibly powerful. Yeah. Incredibly powerful. It's all I can say. It's one of those things. It's like I can't over explain it, really. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think you said it at the beginning. It's really difficult to explain something that you can't.
You've
see.
Got to try this stuff.
You've
to feel
to do it.
It.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. Because I'm not a cynical person, but you know, I'm reserved when it comes to certain things. I'll try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised. At how powerful.
Have you ever
had
Reiki, John?
I haven't. I'd quite like to try it, though.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people come to me for Reiki because someone has sent them in because they had a great experience, and they come and they have no idea what's about to happen. So I'll explain it to them like I just did you, and they're like sort of lay on the bed thinking, okay, no idea. And the feedback, and, you know, this is not to toot my own trumpet because it's not me that's doing it, it's the Reiki, is that, you know, a lot of people say that was literally the most amazing experience I've ever had in my whole life. And honestly, I could say 3-4 clients, new clients that I've had in the last couple of months, that is their feedback. I cannot believe what just happened.
Yeah.
Because they can feel the energy flowing through their body, which they've never felt before in their life.
I'm going to go now. I'm going to see you in 6 hours.
Get in the car, John. Well, let me tell you something that might blow your mind as well, that you can actually send Reiki to people. It's so intelligent that I can send it through the distance.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, are you doing it now?
No. No, not currently, but it is. I mean, my Reiki master, she often does Reiki on people on the other side of the world.
That's insane.
I know. It's really, it becomes, all it comes down to is energy being intelligent.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm almost excited to get off this and go research Reiki local or whatever. You know, just
but again, you can look up, you can read about it as much as you want, but you've got to experience it, right, to feel that energy flow through you.
Right. I'm definitely on my list of things is Reiki and acupuncture now.
Yeah.
Squared that one away. Cheers, then. How are you doing for time, man? Because we got a couple more questions. You all right for time?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good to flow over if you are, John.
Yeah. So you've dramatically improved your emotional and mental well-being over the long term, but you still encounter difficult moments, as you've already spoken to. But what tools do you consistently use to help with those difficult moments?
All of them. I mean, that's the short answer. But yeah.
Hammer,
I mean,
chisel.
Do you know what? It changes. It really changes. Yeah. But I'm so grateful that I've got a multitude of tools that I can connect to, because at the beginning, I only had a couple. And sometimes it gets a bit boring to connect to the same tools all of the time. Yeah. Like for me, at the beginning, meditation was everything. Everything. Mm. You know, I would just listen to, I would go to meditations constantly. But now, you know, I've shifted a little bit. And even though if I'm feeling like I really need to relax and let go, I will definitely lie down and listen to a meditation. You know, actually being out on my morning walk and doing affirmation and tapping is what's most helpful for me at the moment. But, you know, the other day I was challenged with something. And again, it's always me bloody children that challenge me and bring up my anxiety. You know, I had to sit and I had to connect to my breath and do my breath work to really sort of focus myself and bring myself back to the present moment, connecting to mindfulness. So, you know, like, before I might spend like, you know, a huge amount of times doing one thing, but I would actually say nowadays that I'm connecting through my tools frequently all throughout the day, but only for sort of maybe 5-10 minutes here and there, rather than doing like an hour solid self-care a night. Throughout the day, I might just connect to my breath, or I might just connect to mindfulness, or I might just say a couple of affirmations, you know, or I might ground my energy. But again, it's all stuff that I've learned over time. And that I try and help my client with, try and have a multitude of tools that you can use when you need them, because you need different tools for different things.
Yeah, and different situations.
Exactly.
Like, an affirmation might not be that helpful on a train or something, you know.
Yeah. So teach them another tool. But, you know, some people at the moment, a lot of people just need grounding. Okay, take your shoes off and go and stand in your garden and you will be grounded to the earth's energy. It's as simple as that. That is a tool in itself, you know.
My son does that quite naturally, actually.
Well, children are drawn to it because they're clever. Yeah. We forget about all this stuff. You know, we started putting trainers on and, you know, putting plastic between our feet and the Earth's energy for some reason. But children love to walk around barefoot because they love being grounded to nature, you know. Yeah. And something else that I've studied is forest bathing. And very interestingly, you know, if you just spend a short amount of time with trees every single day, it reduces stress and anxiety hugely. It can actually... decrease chronic pain as well, because you're grounded, so you're feeling safe, you're feeling calm, so your body can feel calm, your body can feel safe. So this
makes perfect sense.
You've got to keep connecting to these tools all the time. And you know, there's no point me going on at everyone how to work on self-care if I'm not looking after myself. So I make sure that I go to a sound bath all the time. You know, I'm not just giving them.
I've always wanted to do that sound bath.
Oh, it's amazing. I need to do that. I mean, I do them every week, but I need to go to one as well. I need to go and have Reiki as well and not just do it. I need to exercise every day because that makes me feel good. You know, I've really got to do loads of stuff to try and keep on track. But all of it, I've worked out over the years what feels good and what feels doesn't. If you've got a tool that used to work for you, doesn't work for you anymore, let it go. Come back to it if you want to, but try a different tool.
I thought you were going
to
sing then.
Let it go. No, I wasn't. So, you know, I think having as many tools as you can to deal with your whole well-being is helpful, you know. And it, like I said, only in the last few years I've reconnected to exercise. Although I've always been quite active, last few years I've really reconnected to exercise, and that's massively been an improvement to my mental health, you know. You've got to keep changing. You've got to keep looking for these tools, keep switching them up, use them at different times of the day, you know, just keep making them work for you.
It's interesting that you talk about that. Like, you know, you've just come back towards exercise. And it's funny, like I worked in the health and fitness industry for quite some time. And just recently I've let go of exercise. I've stopped.
That's okay.
In the traditional sense, I still, like you say, I'm still a fairly active person and all them sort of things. But like it dawned on me one day, it's quite funny, it's so obvious now, that maybe, just maybe, the punishing workout is not the one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wait, punishing workout. Say it again, punishing workout. Yeah, maybe that's not working for me.
Yeah.
I've let that go. I've created a bit of a fire break for that. And I'm starting to introduce the things that I enjoy doing. The exercises I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And actually, I get in the gym sometimes now and it's like 20 minutes. I do the things I enjoy. I do them nice and quickly because that's how I like to do it. I don't lift too heavy. And
yeah,
I quite enjoy
good.
it. Yeah, it feels good. I feel like
you've got
I've
to enjoy
moved.
it, haven't you, to be able to maintain it. And that's also what I say to people. You know, if you're not enjoying doing our meditation every day, it's almost impossible. You kind of hate doing it. Then stop doing it. Find something else that you can do. Do some yoga, or, you know, go out for a walk in nature. You know, there's so many well-being tools that you could use, and some of them are just so simple. It's like crazy, but you just need them pointing out to you, and you just need to use them.
and that's it. Like, you're right. It's simple. It's like the realization for me that I exercised to feel better, but yet all I ever did was spend my life in pain. Something was always hurting all the time. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I do this to feel better, but yet today I can't actually sit down on the toilet without feeling like that is a bad thing to go, you know? It's like, so it's like you say, it's obvious now I'm out the other side of it, but the pressure that, that we put on ourselves, oh, I must exercise, I must train. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Like, if you want to do that, that's great. But for me, I realized something, and that was that being in pain all the time because of the over-exercise I was doing, the punishing workouts, it wasn't working for me. And that's okay. That's all right, you know? So
absolutely.
Last question, and then we're going to sort of wrap up, and we're going to talk a little bit about tools in a minute, because we've got something exciting to tell people. But how important do you think it is to have well-being support in other areas of your life, such as in the workplace? I know you work a lot with corporate businesses and whatnot. Yeah. So can we talk about that?
I think, you know, we spend a lot of our time at work. And a lot of people that come to me, and actually I've noticed a lot of male clients that come to me, their stress and their anxiety comes from work. So, and you know, that's not exclusive to males, but I have noticed that a lot of men do suffer from high amounts of pressure and overwhelming stress from work. Females as well, you know, we spend a lot of time at work. So why wouldn't you want to implement some well-being time at work? You know, if we spend a huge chunk of our life at work, we need some stuff there as well, you know. And some companies are amazing. You know, a company that I work for are amazing. They've got a huge well-being team that work for them. They offer well-being to their clients on a weekly, to their staff, sorry, on a weekly basis. You know, and they've actually noticed the benefits on it, because guess what? If you look after your staff, they look after you. If your staff are feeling good, they're going to be more present, more focused at work. You know, they're going to do better at work. There's millions of days off every year taken from people taking it off, either from stress or chronic pain. Okay. And a lot of that could be dealt with just by introducing some of these simple tools to people. So, you know, that was a bit of my mission last year, that I want to get these tools into the workplace. So I had to think about how easy that would be, because a lot of people are virtual now, you know. A lot of people aren't actually in a workplace, their workplace is at home. So what I did is I just designed some very simple well-being packages that I deliver virtually, where we talk about, you know, stuff that we're talking about now, simple well-being and self-care tips that you can try throughout your day and at home that can help you feel good at home and in the workplace. So yeah, I think it's massively important. You've got to look after yourself in all areas, and if your company doesn't do anything for you well-being, you've got to push them, because they should be. They should be supporting you.
They should. And I have an idea of someone who might be able to help with that.
Maybe I can help you with that.
Yeah, don't be shy. Tell them. Say,
yeah, you know, I mean, cause that's what it's all about. And, I, you know, these workshops, they're maybe 45 minutes to an hour long. They're delivered by a webinar. So it's accessible for absolutely everybody in the workplace on their lunch break. They can just log on to it, try some simple and effective tools that are going to help you just feel generally a lot better, you know, manage your stress better. And it, the feedback I've had from it has been massive. Really great, you know, game changer. Okay, I was so stressed about going to work every day, and actually now I know on my lunch break I can take a minute to do some breath work, and I can get myself feeling balanced and calm, and I you know, in the afternoon I'm feeling much more productive, I'm feeling much more focused and relaxed, you know. So it is really important, and because we do spend so much time at work, you know
it makes sense, and it's absolutely brilliant that someone like yourself is out there offering that service. So anyone listening who thinks that they're business or the place they work or anything like that is looking for somebody, I got an idea who it could be.
Be Vicky. Drop me a message.
Could be Vicky. Could be me. This has been amazing. I've loved this. Thank you so much for your time today. Last question, as always, is there anything that you'd like to pass on that could help people with their self-development?
Okay, I thought about this question for quite a while because I could, again, I could go on for hours.
That's why I don't spring it on people.
You know, this is what I would say mainly. You know, if you're in a dark place right now, which I definitely have been, you can connect to that light again, but you've got to put some action in, some positive action for yourself. Yeah, make some changes. And that journey, you know, it will take you to somewhere that's much lighter, but you've got to start that journey by trying to take some action and make some changes for yourself. Look after yourself better, you know, implement some self-care and some self-love.
And it's interesting that word self-care and self-love gets thrown around as a bit of a buzzword, but the way that you mean it is, it's not about, you know, if you're not someone that wants to submerge themselves in freezing cold water, then don't.
Yeah. Like, find something that gets you going, that makes you feel happy. Yeah, absolutely. You
know, do something that works for you. Try it, because you might be surprised. You know, like I had an inkling that cold water therapy wasn't for me. Yeah. I tried it. I was right.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I've never ever sat there once ever being cold thinking, this is all right. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I say I don't like it. I get it. Yeah. I jumped in there. There was this feeling of liberation, but then there was quickly this, I want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I'm about to die. It's not for everyone. I mean, Wim Hof is very clever, very intelligent, but it's not for everybody, for sure.
Nothing can be for everybody, you know? And for me...
And I would actually say that the best tool and the most basic tool that I teach my clients that I start off with is probably mindfulness.
Mm.
Yeah. Start with a basis and start trying to be a little bit more present. And that will be that's probably the basis. Mm. Yeah. You don't have to do all these weird and wonderful you know, sort of almost fashionable therapies. You can start just by trying to be a little bit present a little bit more throughout the day. You know, if someone comes to me and I don't even know where to begin with them, I will practice mindfulness with them. And then I'll ask them to practice mindfulness for 3 to 5 minutes, 3 to 5 times a day. Then come back to me. That's always like a baseline. Let's start just trying to be present for a moment and take it from there. You know,
that's really great advice. And interesting enough, leads me on to my next thing. We said we had something really cool to talk about.
Yes.
Vicky has been kind enough to offer out her services for February, basically. So over on my Instagram, the self-development coach, we're going to go live on the Sundays. Sunday the 12th. Sunday the 19th and Sunday the 26th at 6 p.m. And you're going to take us through some of these practices that you have. And I think right now, so don't hold us to this because we're not sure about the schedule.
It could change.
Yeah. So yeah, subject to change. But on the 12th, we're looking at doing some breath work.
I think we should do mindfulness, John. Sorry. I've just said we should start with mindfulness, so we should really, shouldn't we? Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Sorry.
Ever evolving. I'll just cross that out then.
Okay. Sorry. Let's start with mindfulness.
Yeah. So on the 12th, we're going to start with mindfulness. And then the 19th, shall we go with tapping or breath work?
Breath work, I think.
Breath work. And then on the 26th, we'll go with tapping.
Absolutely. Yeah, that runs better. Yeah.
Yeah. So mindfulness, breath work, tapping. 12th, 19th, 26th. Tune in. It will be saved on the Instagram. Listen to me, on the Instagram. it'll be saved on the grid. But I really recommend that you come and do this live, man. We'll have a little bit of time maybe afterwards, 5 minutes or so, just for some questions if people have got anything that they want to ask.
Absolutely.
But come and check it out. It'll be on my Instagram and we're going to go at 6 o'clock on a Sunday. So I think it's going to be brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to learn a lot. I'm going to experience some, I'll probably start crying or something like live.
It could happen, mate. I probably will too if I'm connected to it. So don't worry.
imagine knocking in on that about 6:30 or something. And it's just being crying. That's funny.
So uplifting.
Yeah. But like, wow, this is supposed to be helping me. What's going on? Like, okay. Well, listen, amazing. I'd love this conversation. So last thing, what's next for you and where can people find you? And is there anything you want to draw people's attention to before we go?
I'm on social media as well, on Instagram, on the old Facebook, and in LinkedIn as well. I offer one-to-one sessions where I am. Obviously, I'm based in Hertfordshire. So I do offer one-to-one sessions and private group sessions here. But also, you know, I'm virtual. So if you want any support where you want to implement a self-care routine, or you want to learn some techniques and tools on how to manage your anxiety or create a more positive mindset, you know, I'm able to deliver that worldwide, really. So of course, you can contact me about that. And like you just said, John, I'm offering wellbeing at work packages as well. And all of this, you know, it's all on my social media. There's loads of feedback, and my webpage has got loads of details about my journey, all the therapies I offer and what's sort of involved in them. So yeah, you know, just hit me up on social media or on my webpage, really, and you'll find all of my details, and you'll be able to book in with me as well if you want to.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, I'm going to put all that in the show notes, so no need to find a pen and write it down. Just click on the show notes and it'll take your link straight to Vicky. Yeah, just if anything, just start a conversation with Vicky. And see where it goes. She's not going to be like, right, sign on the dotted line, are you?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, people contact me all the time and ask me for advice for things. That's absolutely fine. You know, if you want to drop me a message, you're not sure if it's suitable for you to book in, but you have some questions, drop me a message. No worries. There's always like a free sort of consultation time involved if you're not sure about the therapies, if you're not sure if they're for you or not.
Yeah, because it might to some people might feel a bit out there. I'm certainly ready for stuff like this, so I'm at least excited about the little taster things we're going to do on the Sunday. It might be a nice little introduction for you for anyone listening, so exciting.
I mean, the workshops are going to be, you know, based around sort of stress management and anxiety. Mm. But when we're doing one-to-one sessions, it's very sort of person-centered.
Of course.
Or if we're in the workplace, it's even centered around the workplace, you know. Yeah. So it's always centered around what we're doing. So, you know.
It's for you. It's about you.
Exactly.
And it's the stuff that you can do for yourself. And it's the next step. And I think maybe that's where I'm at. I'm at that next step. The things that are the little tools that I can collect. I've got loads of mind management tools, stress reduction tools, all these different things. But this stuff around energy has fascinated me for a while. So I've really enjoyed it.
Well, there's a purpose why you're being drawn to it and why we're having this conversation today, I think. John.
There you go. You've got it in your eye. Like, is that Reiki Jedi Master?
She knows.
Yeah. Do Reiki, you will. All right. Listen, it's been great talking to you.
And you.
I look forward to this. To this coming Sunday, it will be once this comes out. So, yeah. See you there.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's all from me for this episode. Thanks again to my podcast producer, Charlie, from Chatter Podcast. And I'll catch you next time for another episode of the Self-Development Podcast.